Full disclosure, having celebrated a milestone to start the year, I've been caught up in my feels off and on all year long. Here's what I know. Nobody beats the biz. I like doing the Humpty Hump. And on God, the freaks come out at night. Among so many others, the music industry lost a prince, the king of pop, rock, and soul, and the queen of the night. Still, cultural music royalty exists. And when given the opportunity, I believe you give flowers while they can smell them.
There you go.
That's my message. The Nubian at the mic in Studio 889 with the icon who delivered the message 40 years ago, and it still resonates today. Grandmaster Melly Mel.
My brother.
Welcome to Studio 889.
My brother.
Much respect. It's an honor to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
Let's kick it. The Message celebrates its 40th anniversary. Take us back in the day when it was originally released. What made you take a risk of going against the grain of the kind of music that was coming out at that time?
Well, the brainchild of the Message actually wasn't none of us. It wasn't the group. It was actually the idea of Miss Sylvia Robinson. It was two records that they had, and the brother that actually wrote the main body of the record was a guy called Edgar Fletcher. He's Duke Booty on the record. That's the other voice. And he had that record, and he had a record called Dumb Love, right? But he liked Dumb Love. And it's like, see you dancing on Soul Train, everybody see your face, don't nobody know your name. And then it was a repetitive hook, Dumb Love. You know, every two bars, Dumb Love. And Miss Sylvia Robinson said, if you get, let me do this other record on the group that they would put out Dumb Love on Edgar Fletcher. And it actually, we wasn't supposed to do the record. It was supposed to be a Sugar Hill Gang record because we had a record out at that time. I think we had out Happy Birthday, It's Nasty, one of them records. But she was just so adamant about doing this song that nobody liked. Like, nobody understood the song. Nobody liked the song. She was the only one that believed that this song was going to be the song that she knew it was going to be. And the only one that trusted her was her husband, Joe Robinson. And he would just be standing in the studio, his arms just folded, you know, he's listening because, you know, she struck lightning a couple of times in her career, you know, with songs that she produced. And we wind up laying the song down. They put the music together. And it was a rhyme that I had wrote on Super Rapping, the first record that we did on the Joy labels. The child is born with no state of mind, that rhyme. And she said, if you put that rhyme on this song, then that's going to be the icing on the cake. Now, like I said, nobody liked the record. Wonder Mike heard the record. He took the tape and threw it across the street. The only reason why I did the record is because she was just so adamant about doing the record that it was just priority. So I'm going to just go along for the ride, you know what I mean? Is, you know, we're going to be in the studio, everything going to be good, and, you know, we're going to go to the expensive Chinese restaurant afterwards, and, you know. So it took 3 days to mix the record. She was almost in a trance, almost. And she would tape the board up after every night, nobody come in the studio, nobody touched the board. After 3 days, the record is done. Still, nobody knows the record. Nobody likes the record except for her. She comes up to the Disco Fever. She said, I'm going to premiere this record. I'm going to go to the Fever. I'm going to play it in the Fever. Now, at that time, Planet Rock is out. That's the hot song of the summer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's Planet Rock. And I'll never forget, she came in there. Nice big old diamond ring. The whole diamond was probably bigger than this ring she had. And she puts the song on, and it's right after a dance song.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm like kind of hiding behind the DJ booth because I'm thinking it's going to be like a buzzkill. You know, I like, you know, sometimes like when you play and then if you switch the vibe of the song, the crowd would just leave the floor. Yeah. Put the record on. Everybody just stayed on the floor dancing, you know. She gave the record to one of the greatest DJs of all time, Frankie Crocker, and the rest of it was history. But nobody knew that that record was going to be the record that it was, except for her. And as far as hip hop goes, that was when she struck lightning twice, because she did it with Rapper's Delight, and then she did it again with The Message.
The mother of hip hop.
So, I wish she was here right now. I could use another lightning strike.
Well, let's talk about the reaction a little bit more. What was like the initial reaction that got back to you about the song? Like, you were witnessing something firsthand, but then how did it unfold?
Well, as far as the people was concerned, I guess they just took it as it was just a record. And it wasn't a bad record, because like I said, they stayed on the floor. They danced to it, right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, the response wasn't overwhelming, like as far as the people that was in the fever and, you know, the people that I knew. Mm-hmm. But when it got to the critics, mm-hmm. it was the first critically acclaimed record, because nobody really understood, you know, hip-hop, first of all. And Rapper's Delight was kind of like, they thought that was kind of like a novelty, even though it caught fire. It was, you know, ridiculously hot, you know, it was a ridiculously hot record. But when the critics got heard the record, and then it was the first critically acclaimed and had some social commentary, and that's where it really caught fire, because it was the kind of record like the people that never liked hip hop or rap, they liked that record, mm-hmm. and even to this day, that's not the message is not necessarily a hip-hop record, is a pop record. Even mm-hmm. Rapper's Delight is a pop record. It's not, you know, it has that staying power. You know, mm-hmm. I do it, you know, I stopped rhyming because I just like doing the message. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just doing rhymes, I mean, I might have to get into that because I done did it, you know, maybe 100,000 too many times. But I just love doing it. I love the song, and it just has that kind of, you know, it could be anybody's song. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. That could be somebody in the Ukraine. Mm. You see what I'm saying? It's right. Not necessarily right. Our thing, you know, but true. it struck that chord, you know, where you know, it could be anybody. It could be anybody's song.
Because yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The lyrics that you were spitting, like, you painted a picture so vivid, you could see it, you could hear it, you could smell it, like you were in the hood. To me,
absolutely,
that was my interpretation those years ago, hearing what you're saying now and how it could apply to different people, because I got my ghetto pride, but I know that everybody is not from around the way like that.
Right.
So what would you attribute the popularity of the song to, that it was pretty much just a pop song, or
well,
tell me more about that?
Well, I think it was timing. It was good timing. Mm. Because it came out at a time where hip hop was more like a sameness. You know, everybody was based on the same thing. Either you're partying or you bragging about, you know, what you do or what you got. And that song was just so different, and it came out at such a right time. And the main thing is just good production. It was just a very, very well produced record.
Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Is it true that, like, that song and a lot of the early music you did, you had live instrumentation? It wasn't like...
All the songs. We never used scratching on any of the songs.
Okay.
Like, the musicians would write it a certain kind of... would write the music a certain kind of way, and then when I would do the lyrics, you know, flash one time, bam! Yeah. But it wasn't a cut. It was just the band just doing a hit. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, it was just so well produced. Like, it took 3 days to mix this one song. Three
wow.
days.
Wow.
And that's how much attention she paid to, you know, every little detail, all them little hi-hat hits, every little detail, every reverb in the song, she paid immaculate attention to put in this song out. It's like, it was almost like, she seen it. I mean, she seen what it was. I mean, and I'm just sitting there like, you know, when are we going to go to the Chinese restaurant? I mean, I'm kind of hungry. and little did I know, is like getting a hit record is, that's almost like it's immortality. You never, you know what I mean? As soon as that record come on, that's you, and mentally everything goes right back to when that record was first made. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm here or not, that's what's going to happen.
You will live forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Danubian with you in Studio 88.9, joined by the iconic Grandmaster Melly Mel. We're vibing about the song The Message, which celebrates its 40th anniversary this year. Let's stay with the lyrics for just a little bit longer, because there was a lot that was in that song. Is there one particular verse or portion of the song that means the most to you?
Well, being that I wrote the last verse, I would say that means a lot. But I think the opening line, broken glass everywhere, you know, people piss on stage, you know, just don't care. When I first had a chance to actually listen to the song, mm-hmm. now Duke Booty actually wrote those lyrics, mm-hmm. but when I listened to it, it almost felt like I wrote, like I said in my head, like I could have wrote that. Mm-hmm. It's like it was that much of a friendship with the lyrics in it, and especially the opening lyrics, because that's as far as writing a song, the opening lyrics is that's either it's going to be the hook,
yeah,
because the hook is the hook, but it's going to be your first lyrics, and Broken Glass 7. That's all, you know. That's the South Bronx. That was the South Bronx. You know, the ghettos in L.A., that was Cabrini Green. That was all of that. That was the Fifth Ward. That was all of that. No, and it was great, great, great lyrics.
You're a Grammy Hall of Fame award winner and are a part of the very first hip-hop group inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, during the ceremony, you made a statement about the culture, the art of hip-hop. Can you tell me more about that moment?
I just thought I would just take, being that was one of the biggest moments in our career, just to take the time to, you know, because there was a lot of music people in the room, a lot of executives, and just to, you know, put out there that everything is going kind of like the wrong way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because we got into hip-hop, hip hop was Disneyland for us. We had nothing, you know. You know, no school programs. You know, no real home life. We had nothing when we was just going out, you know, trying to party. It wasn't like I was looking at it like, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm gonna have this career. You know, I'm gonna be famous. You know, I'm gonna make money. I'm gonna go places. We was just trying to forget how crazy things was. Mm-hmm. So when I started, because I started out as a B-boy, I used to B-boy with Flash, and it was our Disneyland. So at some point, after everything is established, you see it not being as much as it was more of a business, and then is more of a subculture than the actual culture. Because our culture, it was a music culture. We, you know, we trying to have a good time. We going to go from our block to the next project over, and, you know, and B-boy against them, and, you know, and rap, you know, and, you know, say our rhymes and battle, you know, but nothing real, you know, violent, you know. Mm-hmm. But I seen where it was about to come, like it's going to be a fork in the road, and it's about to go left. And I just wanted to take that time just to, let everybody in the audience know that I know that it's going left, and that we, you know, as far as music, being that we all music people, that we all should be invested in the fact that is about good music. It's not about, you know, the subculture. It's not about all the violence. It's not about that.
So being that you are a part of a group, is it still all love with everybody? Any upcoming projects? You were talking about having some lightning. What y'all got planned? Anything?
No, I mean me and Scorpio work together. My brother's in jail, mm-hmm. and Cowboy died, and Raheem, we don't see eye to eye with Raheem and Flash, so it's just me and Scorpio. We just, you know, we still, you know, trying to produce songs. And actually, I got a Christmas song that I'm getting ready to put out.
Word, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've worked with so many amazing artists. Like, it's a who's who of the industry. Quincy Jones, Chaka Khan, Duran Duran, Cher, Lady Gaga. If you could work with any of today's crop of MCs, who would it be? Who you feeling?
You mean like today? Mm-hmm. I couldn't say I would. I'd want to replant the flag first, mm-hmm. and then think about it, because the way I see it is a thing where they see music as an age gap. Mm-hmm. And they try to make it like, you know, or, you know, but they're old, mm-hmm. but we're new. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they got to be put in their place, because they might be young, mm-hmm. but there's nothing new about what's going on. You see what I'm saying? And for me to work with them is almost like me saying that we did something, that we need help. I don't need no, I mean, I do need a hit record, but you know what I mean? I don't think I need the help like that. I think I could help them. I could help them, enjoy their career more, mm-hmm. you know, because music and hip hop is a beautiful thing, but they just ain't taking the time to enjoy it. You see what I'm saying? Just to be in the studio and work, they probably be smart. You know, I got, you know, I'm 60 years old. I got chronic bronchitis. I'm not, you know, be in the studio, everybody smoking weed. And, you know what I mean? It's a different, two different thought processes. And this is how I see life in general, not only in hip hop. A child is supposed to understand the parent. I'm not supposed to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not supposed, because I already know. For me to get to go down to a level, you know, what are we going to be talking about? Like, if we do a song, I do a song with one of these guys, you know, what are we going to be talking? Are they going to do an anti-violence song? Mm. I don't know. Mm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, maybe a J. Cole, maybe a Kendrick Lamar, but they supposed to be reaching out, as far as I'm concerned.
Danubian coming at you from studios along the Boston Common with special guest Grandmaster Melly Mel. Looking in the rear view, the area outside of our studio was completely different. The block was so hot, the area was known as the combat zone. Word up, we had chicks turning tricks around the corner. Cats was getting pinched or popped down the street. How have things changed for the skin we in since the message was released?
Well, I think for an individual, it got better, because the business of hip hop got better. Mm. So for the individual, as far as hip hop as a culture and African Americans as a people, and I've been saying this for years, in the black community, respect comes from the bottom up and not the top down. And that's why you could have one of the Migos go hang out in the hood, mm. which should have been applauded for that, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets shot. And then they blame it, most of them, I talk to people all the time, they blame it on Quavo. He is like, most people say he did something wrong. Hmm. But the guy that shot him, he didn't do nothing wrong. They just saying that, oh yeah, well that's how it is in the hood. So with me saying that respect comes from the bottom up and not the top down, that means we're not going nowhere. Even to how it's set up with the state of music right now, you can't go from, well, I can, but these kids can't go from one block to the other block. Mm-hmm. So now where does a people go when the people can't go nowhere? And the answer is, we're not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. But we don't know it. Now, if you could, any other races, they'll, you know, and that's why, okay, Black Lives Matter, and they'll say all life matter. Mm-hmm. But Black lives do matter. But they looking at like, but it don't matter to y'all though. Hmm. They just ain't telling us that, because we don't want to hear that. You see what I'm saying? So now for the individual, I mean, you could do very well. I've done very well. For people, I lose sleep every time I hear somebody get shot and killed for no other reason than just a brother. This guy wants to shoot that guy. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But don't nobody lose sleep about that. You know what I mean? You can't even have a intelligent conversation. I'm not talking about a street dude, with an educated guy about black-on-black crime. They'll deny that it exists. Mm-hmm. But so why we got all the bodies? I mean, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just the way I see it, you know?
Given everything that you've said about the state of the industry, the state of the culture, what advice would you have for a new artist that wanted to get into the industry?
Well, the main thing is just to try to be different. Do something different. Say something, you know, say something different. Because that's the difference between the message and everything that was going on then. It was the different. I tell young people all the time, you know, if you want to be in the music, that people pay for the difference. They don't pay for the same. Hmm. If you give them the same, then, you know, they'll listen to it. But they don't, you know, and that's why a lot of that drill music, a lot of it don't actually, it streams, but it don't necessarily sell. It's all localized. You making a record about this guy killing that guy, and you think this guy is stupid enough to buy that record when you saying you're going to kill him? Now, some of them are that stupid. They will like a record saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to kill, you see what I'm saying? But it's more localized, you know what I mean? The guys in Brooklyn listen to the guys from Brooklyn, they you know, and then the guys from the Bronx, they got their own thing, and then guys in Houston, they got their own thing. But it's more that you can do with a song, you know. It's more you know, it's more angles. You just got to find the right angle, and that's what I tell people. I mean, if you find the right angle, you could write the biggest song that you ever had. I mean, you just gotta think past what he's saying, because he already said that.
Now, you do more writing than just music writing. Like, do I understand correctly that you actually write children's books?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, I mean, right now we have a school program. It's called Windows of Hip Hop in the Bronx. What we try to do is we try to use the tools of hip hop to make kids understand the importance of their education in everyday life. Because the way the school system is set up, you can learn, but then you got to listen. And if you're not listening the right way, you're not going to learn. Mm-hmm. So with hip-hop, it's more of a, we change the dynamics of what it is. So, you know, we do, you know, Kaz got it, and me and Grandmaster Kaz, he does, you know, his hip-hop history. I do, you know, fitness. We got curriculum that we try to put out, because, you know, I don't know about here, but in New York, they don't teach kids how to tell time. Like, they're just, you know, you could read the clock off the wall, but as far as telling time, 20, you know, they don't teach kids how to
they don't even do
sign the signature, cursive.
Yeah.
So, and what I try to stress to these kids and to the teachers, how does this child sign the binding agreement without a signature? Mm-hmm. You can't. You're almost going to make yourself null and void, because as you would know, it's you print your name,
yeah,
and then you write your signature, and then it's valid. But without that signature, so that's why you know, we try to do as much as we can do to, because basically kids are the future, mm-hmm. but they got to know it, and you got to know it, and everybody has to be a part of it. Everybody has to be in on it, and you know, and that's where we are with it.
A lot of good work. I like that. How can people keep up with everything that you've got going on? I've heard, are you still thinking about wrestling? Did I understand that was something that you were considering?
Well, you know, see, that was something that was always on the bucket list. I think now, I could probably do better now than I would have done 20 years ago, because I'm a better talker now. and you know, so I could pull it off, you know. And the wrestlers ain't as... They're more technical, but they're not, you know, it's not like you got a Bruiser Brody or Dick the Bulldog Brawler David Schultz, you know, those are guys that you get in the ring with them. They can, you know, yeah. These guys, you know, they'll wrestle around you. They'll love you up and you know, make it happen. So that's something is still on the bucket list.
Well, this was cool. I could keep you here all day. I know that you have other things that are going on, but I really want to thank you for being here. It's an honor to have had you. I need to get you back to do a freestyle. You said you stopped rhyming.
Yeah, actually, I don't like, I still write rhymes, but I don't even take time to remember them. Like, I got tons of stuff, but I just don't, you know, I just
like, we got a studio, so we're gonna have to get you to come back up in here.
Oh yeah.
And thank you for staying true to the culture and always representing the culture and the music. Danubian sending you back to the vibe of R&B and hip-hop that hits different. Powered by 88.9 FM, you're rocking with ERS Plus, Boston's Black Experience.